So let's have a look at, we were talking about the third Ikar, which is Shlulas Agashmus, the negation of corporeality, and of the obvious question that comes to mind, which the Rambam discusses here, is the fact that the Torah has many, many blatant descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in physical terms. And of course, if you go beyond the Tanakh, you go to Chazal, then it gets even more anthropomorphic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nis'ataif k'shliach tzibur, in front of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Yugimul Midas, right? He enwrapped himself like a shliach tzibur, right? In Anim Zmiras from Iguda Chosid, right? Kesher tefillin heri la'onov, tmunas Hashem l'neged einav, right? He saw the Kesher tefillin, it's based on Chazal. But you have statements in Shir HaShirim, right, which are, Kvutsoisav Tatalim Shchoiros, right, Sifsoisav Noitvus Moroiver, Sifsoisav Kishashanim Noitvus Moroiver. I mean, there's very, very blatant stuff. And the Rambam's answer to that is, and this is the standard answer, is HaTorah Medaberes Peloshon Bnei Adam, the Torah speaks in the language of people, which obviously makes sense, and I think we discussed before. I mean, the Torah is written in such a way, and this is how the Kuzari puts it. He says, if the Torah would actually describe what it means when Hashem speaks to someone, communicates to someone, if it would describe it in a most intellectually accurate way, he says, one in a thousand people would understand it. And maybe at certain points in history they'd understand it. But you know what? The average person wouldn't, right? So it might say, even if it would say something like, and Hashem willed that the air should vibrate so that the ears of Moses heard the following words, so we'd understand that, right? But would they have understood that 200 years ago? Would a five-year-old understand that? Learning Chumash would, I mean, I don't know. Right? But the way it's written is, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Loim, Hashem spoke to Moshe. That's Loshem Bnei Adam. Loshem Bnei Adam is a catch-all idea that the Torah is supposed to communicate with every person in every time, of every age, and of every intellectual level. So hopefully, we hope that the five-year-old, when he hears Yad Hashem, hand of Hashem, he probably understands one thing, and I'm sure that all of us, when we hear Yad Hashem, we understand something different, and that's how it's meant to be. Let's have a look what he says in the Mor HaNevuchim about this issue. Lo tachshov ki kol ma shehitz'anu be'elu haprakim hakodmin migdulos hadavar v'hestera v'roichek hasagosa v'yosa nimna min ahamon. Don't think that all the stuff that we have presented in the previous chapters of the greatness of this matter, meaning Hashem's incorporeality, the distancing of corporeality and the distancing of activities that are attributed to that, Eina Kane, don't think that this is i.e. the distancing of corporeality from Hashem is on the same level as the stuff we've discussed previously, which is really difficult stuff, things that prove the existence of Hashem and he is one and so on and so forth. He says no. Harchokas Agashmus is a little easier. Aval kamoshet sarich shiyichanchu hanaarim v'yispashet b'hamon al sheha elokai yisbarach echad v'in sarich shiyavod zelo. So in the same way that we have to educate children and hamon, the masses, that's us, right, that Hashem is one and that we should not serve anything else. Kain sarich shiyimsalhem al derech kabbalah. We also have to give over to these people, to our children and to everyone, al derech kabbalah, meaning through our tradition, Sha'eloka eina guf vein dimyon beino vein bruv klal bedavar min varam, that Hashem is not a body and there is no comparison between him and any of his creatures whatsoever. You could teach that to a child. They may not completely understand it, but to give them the idea that any comparison is incorrect. We always talk about, we throw in the word sometimes kiviyochol, as if it would be possible to say such a thing. Right, so ve'ein mitziyus or gidmus mitziyusim, his existence is not the same as their existence. V'lo chayav kidmus chaya hachay, and his life is not like the life of a living thing. V'lo chochmas or kidmus chochmas mishiyesh v'hem chochma, and his wisdom is not the same as the wisdom of anyone else who has wisdom. So as we mentioned beforehand, they're all category mistakes. Yesterday we mentioned that, as the Kuzari puts it, to talk about Hashem, is Hashem wise, Hashem lives, Hashem is, etc. These are all category mistakes, meaning the category of life, the category of wisdom, these are all categories from our world. Right? There's not categories that describe Hashem. But if I would force you to give me the least inaccurate answer, right? What would be the least inaccurate answer to the question, is Hashem chai? Is he, well, obviously the least inaccurate answer is that he's alive. even though the category of life is not, in the way that we understand it biologically, etc., is not really applicable. Okay. V'she'en chiluf, beinam uveinam, beino uveinam, beit ravel mat levad. But, and the distinction between Hashem and all creatures is not just one of quantity. As our IQ is, whatever, I don't know, average IQs are, right? But let's say our IQ is in the hundreds, right? Hashem's IQ is in the millions. That puts in the same category. That's not. It's a qualitative difference. Aval b'min hametzia, it is in the quality of this reality that is different. Ritzoni lomar. My intent here is to say, shetzarich liyashev l'kol, this has to be liyashev. What's liyashev l'kol? It means basically to make it understandable to everyone. She'en chochmateinu v'chochmoso o yecholteinu v'yecholto mitchalfim b'ravu ma'at. His wisdom and our wisdom, his ability and our ability, are not just distinct in amount, u'b'chozek u'b'chilush, with strength and weakness, u'mashe domel azeh, or similarly. Ki achazak v'achalush mitdamin b'min ahechrech. If you talk about something as weak or strong, then they are obviously in the same general category. Right. And there can only be a comparison between two things which are of one sort. He says this principle many times, and it's type of clear. Like just as a random example, it's interesting, he talks about where the Gemara says that Chalom is Echad Meshishim Minavua. Right, a dream is 1/60th of prophecy. He says you can't say that A is 1/60th of B if A and B are completely unrelated. If A and B are completely, right, it's not, right, it's like a nonsensical statement. So obviously he says dreams and prophecy, there is some relationship, right, and they're in the same area, right? Otherwise, so, you know, it'd be like saying a piece of soup about this color, right, which of course doesn't mean anything, right? For on the tape, this, right? Whatever. Anyway, so he says it has to be the. So any comparison. Kvaris barazer gam came b'chokhmas sativius. This also is something clear for those who understand a little bit about nature. Aval komashi arech elav yizbarach nivdal mitoreinu mekol tzad. Anything that we attribute to Hashem is completely distinct from our descriptions in every way. Actually, kabsem geder klal, till there can be no geder. Geder meaning there's no definition. Because to define means to limit, and geder, the Hebrew word in geder for geder is like a definition, or it's also the word for fence. Right, you've fenced something into that. That's one of the reasons the Mekubalim call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein Sof. Right, in other words, without it's almost like a non-definition. As we mentioned yesterday from the Kuzari, what we call a negative description. Of course, the Rambam would say many, if not most, of our descriptions of Hashem are negative descriptions, meaning they describe what Hashem is not, as opposed to what he is. Right? To say that he is Elohim Chaim is to mean that he's not the opposite. To say that he is Chazak, Hashem Ishmael Choma, right? Nedori Bakoyach, etc., means he's not the opposite. Okay. Even when we say that Hashem exists, the very word existence, we have to understand, is not the same as what we mean by anything else existing. Right? Anything else existing, we think about existence, it's within space-time. So I think we mentioned why that, according to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that's what the term hamakom for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is the place, is based on the Medrash, Hu Mekoimo Shel Olam, Ein HaOlam Mekoimo. He's the place of the world's not his place. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains it by saying that everything that exists needs space and time. It exists for a certain duration and it needs a certain framework. So that's called makom. And he says, so everything, we talk about existence, it means within a makom. But makom itself exists. But that exists within HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? He is the ultimate framework of existence. As Moshe Shapiro called Ma'arechet Mitziyuti, right? Of the world. And the world is not Ma'arechet Mitziyutav. It's not the framework in which he exists. As I'll explain. V'ze'ashir yaspik liktanim ulahamon b'yishuv da'atem. What we just said now should be sufficient. And this could be explained to a child. And this could be explained to the masses. Sheyesh nimtza shalem. That there is this complete, perfect being, Bilti Geshem, V'lokach B'Geshem, who is not physical or a physical reality. I should point out, just a very beautiful idea, since we just started saying Mashiv HaRuach, or Morid HaGeshem, or Goshem, as the case may be, you'll notice that that the Hebrew word for matter is geshem, as is the Hebrew word for rain, geshem. Okay. So, and we say the Mashiv Ruach Mar Geshem in Ata Gibor, right, in Gvuros Geshamim, and it's connected, the Gemara says, to Tchias HaMeisim. So why is this so? So just as parenthetically, Rav Moshe Shapiro talks about that he says, if we understand all of Geshem, meaning all of the material world, as an outpouring, continuous outpouring of Hashem's chesed, that it should exist, is that then Tchias HaMeisim is very natural. The way he puts it is, the more you understand life here as natural, then Tchias HaMeisim is supernatural. If you understand our life as supernatural, then Tchias HaMeisim is quite natural. Because the more you like the Gemara, where I think it was a Rebbe in Antoninus, he says, I have a kal v'chomer, right, against Tchias HaMeisim. Maida have loy have, maida loy have lo kol shekein. That which exists will cease to exist. That which no longer exists, how much more so will it not come back into existence? So what did Rebbe answer? He said, no, on the contrary, my deloy hava, that which didn't exist, exists. My dehava, that which already exists, lo kol shekein, how much more so will it exist once again? What's the difference? It's where you start. So the Roman starts with, my dehava, what exists, will cease to exist. So how much more so will it not come into existence again? Where does the Jew start? What never existed exists. What once existed, how much more so will it exist once again? So what's the difference in the starting point? It's very simple. The Roman takes for granted existence. His existence is a given. Mai dahave, that's how he starts. Mai dahave, what exists? He starts with a one. So it goes from one to zero. So if it goes one to zero, it's not going to go from zero to one. It goes from zero to zero. Where does a Jew start? Mai deloy hava, what did not exist, hava, exists. We start with zero, right? And now we're a one. So if it goes from zero to one, so certainly it'll go from one to one, putting it mathematically, right? So that's the difference. That means the more that we are toifest, my dahava, I exist, right? My existence is just a duh, right? So Tchias HaMeisim is ridiculous. It's tenace. But if we understand that our geshem, our material, is loihava, might not exist, didn't exist, and now is in existence, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing it to exist, like he's Moirid HaGeshem, so then clearly, right, in the same way, there's no difference between that and Tchias HaMeisim. On the contrary, so the more supernatural is our current existence, the more natural is our future existence. The more natural is our current existence, the more supernatural is our future existence, and hence, Moirid Mashiv Ruach Moirid HaGeshem is right there in Tchias HaMeisim. It's not just a play on words, as we understand how that's what Geshem really is. It's in the bracha of Gevurah. It's all called Gevurois Geshamim. So we call it Kodesh Baruch Hu Ata Gibor La'olam Hashem. That's a strange way of describing Hashem, right? Because even if we use Loshem Bnei Adam, because in Pirkei Avos, what's Ezu Gibor? Hakoyvesh Yitzro. So you conquer your inclinations. How's the Kodesh Baruch Hu? So Hashem Ata Gibor, you are koivesh your yetzer. That's hard to understand. So the way Rav Moshe Shapiro puts it is, what it means is Hashem's ultimate desire is to have a relationship with us, an open, galui relationship. However, right, if he would express that in a very open way, it would totally reduce our free will. Right, if it's staring you in the face, if the Shechina, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, and the fact that he continuously moirid our life to us on a continuous level is blatant and open, then of course we have no. It's like I'm standing there with a bazooka right in your face, and I say, "So, do you agree to the terms?" And I say, "Of course, it's wonderful." Right, that's me. Right, so that's not free will. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, is koivesh the yetzer, meaning he suppresses the desire to have an open relationship with us, and he squeezes it into something which looks natural, like rain. Something which looks like it's meteorology, it's nature, it's just the way it is, right? But really, everything is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Geshem, like rain, like and even matter itself, right? And he says, "Huha Eloka lo yasigu min mimina chisorin lachen lo yasigu his palus klal." He is not. There are no manners of anything lacking in Hashem, and therefore there can be no change in Hashem either. So that's how the Rambam's conclusion, Moreh Nevuchim, is that we have to teach this to our children. Now, we did do the next part in the introduction where we were talking about where the Rambam talks in Hilchos Tshuva that a person who believes that Hashem is corporeal is a min, meaning a heretic. And we had the Ravid, who was upset about this and said that, what do you mean, how can you call the guy a heretic? He made a mistake. He made an honest mistake. He looked in the Pesukim and he took them literally. He looked in the Midrashim and he took them literally. So how can you blame such a guy? And then we have a major machloikas rishonim as to what that means. And we'll discuss a little more tomorrow, because we didn't really finish that, but because I wanted to look at the rishonim who disagree with the Rambam, who say that, no, you know, an honest mistake is an honest mistake. But the Rambam would claim, as he says in Moreh Nevuchim, that a mistake about Gashem is not an honest mistake. It's because the guy's got some perversity within him. Right? The way the Rambam put it, why